healing.
That's what a lot of people want. Why? Because there's a lot of sickness, and we seem to be getting sicker as a culture. At least that's what all my friends are saying, all the people I know. And cancer is exploding. You know, I was talking to one of my relatives about, and they said, well, it's prophesied about plagues. Prophesied? Plagues? We already have plagues. We have plagues all over. What are you talking about? And so our next guest is such a interesting guest for me personally, but I think for a lot of our audience. Traditional medicine has failed us so many ways, and Dr. Jaffe, M.D., DrJaffeMD.com is the website. Dr. Jaffe has taken a spiritual look at what we think is a physical problem and really is proving that it's not a physical problem at all. Every spiritual root. Once again, going straight back to the Bible, science, archaeology, the Bible is being proved everywhere we turn. And I am very happy to welcome him to the Power Hour, a brand new guest, Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe. Welcome, Dr. Jaffe.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. I'm happy to be here with you and talk to your audience. So, wonderful.
Yes. Now, when you say you are a spiritual healer, a spiritual doctor, explain to us, what does that mean?
Well, I'm a medical doctor. I did my training in Chicago, and luckily was in the ICU when I saw a miracle happen. It was my first miracle that I'd ever seen, and I saw a girl who was dying of acute hepatitis from unknown origin, 17-year-old girl, viral. Medical system in Chicago gave up on her, and, you know, we were in the last stages of her dying process. And they went back into the Bible, and they found a very ancient form of healing in the Bible, in some of the old texts from the original testament, about healing hepatitis using birds, using doves, and that the doves would somehow, you know, pull out the hepatitis. So they did this biblical healing, and lo and behold, the girl healed. She was in the process of healing. And it blew my mind. I did not believe at that time that there were miracles. I did not believe that there could be alternative forms of healing. And I certainly thought that medicine was, you know, the highest thing on the planet. And it showed me very clearly that the hand of God was far beyond, you know, anything that human beings can do. And what I needed to do was to be the best doctor I could be, which meant to integrate and try to understand non-conventional forms of healing and integrate them into medicine, because I believed in medicine, but I also saw things that superseded medicine, in this case, the dove. And I said, you know what, there's got to be healing all over this planet that I don't know about, and I'm going to start finding it. So I spent the next almost 30 years of my life traveling to different cultures and countries all around the world, studying, you know, alternate forms of healing, and found incredible, incredible, incredible things out there. Some of them amazing, some of them terrifying, some of them outright bad. I mean, they were all the above that I witnessed through my studies. But at the end of the day, what I realized was that the greatest healing of all comes through God. That it's God's light and God's angel, and the reality itself of God that is the greatest healer. This is how Jesus healed. This is how many of the prophets healed. And I realized that this was the highest healing, because not only did it heal people, but it also made their hearts pure and their souls pure and their spirits pure. So it brought purity into their being. It wasn't just healing. So some systems would heal people, but they didn't become pure. They stayed the same or even became worse. And some of the systems healed, and they kind of were okay. But the godly system, working with God's light, working with the angels, was pure and good and holy. So that became, you know, after 20 years of study, 30 years of study, I ended up in that system saying, look, if we're really going to heal, there's two things we need. We need to be able to access that light. You know, we're not Jesus, and we're not going to be able to access like he did. Of course, he's beyond us. But, you know, we can access some of it. We can reach some of that light. And secondly, the other piece that I found was that there were causative factors in all diseases, and that for people to heal, they have to get to those causative factors and resolve them inside of themselves, such as wounding or trauma or, you know, all sorts of things. And in fact, I just got off a session which we can talk about, which really exemplifies this very deeply. But these traumas need to be found, and if we can resolve them and we can reach to God's light to help us to understand them and resolve them in a holy way, I think we can see tremendous healing and oftentimes, you know, complete resolution, and sometimes we even see miracles. So that's the system, what medical spiritual healing is. That's what I teach today. It's for all people, and it's for all people who basically trust and believe that there is God, and they want to connect to God in their healing process.
I'm totally fascinated. Let's get to some of this in a minute. Let me back up. And from your experience, your extensive research in this all over the world, are we saying then that the cause of disease is on a spiritual level, not physical? I mean, what are we saying?
Yes, I would say, you know, basically we could say that the cause of disease is toxicity. And toxicity could be, you know, you could be sitting under a high tension wire and being irradiated, and yes, you will end up with kidney cancer with that. Known fact, it's been proven. It could be that you're eating chemicals that are causing cancer to show up in your process, and you need to get those chemicals out. But it could also be things like emotions, you know, deep rage that you haven't resolved in yourself. It can be psychological issues such as attachment disorders, things you're holding on to that you haven't been able to let go of, or, you know, things you're needing in yourself, love or connection that you couldn't find, things like that. And then the highest level is the spiritual side. The spiritual side is, you know, why are we here as spirits? You know, we are spirits in form. We have our souls and our bodies. What are our souls doing here? They're having an experience. And why? Why did God send our souls here? Because God is, I believe, trying to perfect our souls. In other words, we're trying to become better people. We're trying to become, you know, more Christ-like. We're trying to become more holy inside, which means becoming full of love, becoming full of wisdom, truth, things like this. And this is the real, these we call these attributes, the attributes of truth and love and goodness and peace, are what the soul is trying to learn. The souls come in and they're trying to learn to take on this through this life experience. So if a soul, for some reason, is having trouble learning something, or for whatever reason God chooses to want to reveal something to that soul, there are diseases that actually bring out those teachings. So when a particular thing is needing to be learned, that may show up in a person's system.
Okay, all right, let me kind of clarify, maybe ask some questions, maybe they're running through people's mind. So, are you saying that God wants me to be sick so that I can overcome it, so that I can progress? Or then the other part of that would be, am I causing the sick? You know, I'm 5 years old, I'm a little girl, I got cancer, did I cause that in myself, my consciousness? Am I creating that? My family, what? You may not be able to fully answer, but how would you answer those questions?
Well, I mean, those are really fabulous questions, Daniel. And so let me give you an example where it makes it, you know, really, really clear. First of all, no child is, you know, children are pure, but the, you know, the family line, the lineage, the DNA, the family situations, you know, et cetera, may not be pure. And there may be things that are working out within the family that the child is expressing. You know, of course, as we get older, and then it's not so much the family anymore, it's really about ourselves. And nobody's bad or wrong. You know, disease is not a statement of, you know, we're bad or we did something wrong. Disease is more a statement of we need to learn something so that we can be better human beings. So let me explain that to you in a, you know, through an example. A woman called me from the Netherlands. You know, I was in California. She said, my 10-year-old daughter is dying of a glioblastoma, it's a brain tumor. She's sleeping 23 hours a day. At this point, we can't wake her up except for maybe an hour a day. Now she stopped eating. We were hoping to get a feeding tube into her. because we were hoping maybe we could give her some kind of special herbs that might help her, which we haven't been able to do. And the doctors say that the chemo radiation are not working, nothing will work, she can't tolerate it. What do we do? Okay, so what we did is through a system, and I, again, it's hard to explain it over the phone shortly, but essentially we went into her consciousness, and we were able to find that within the tumor itself, there were family conflicts, and the family was going through a divorce, and the mother was very angry at the father was giving up, it was hopeless, they couldn't resolve between the two. The child, who deeply loved the father and deeply loved the mother, couldn't resolve the divorce. And somehow the split between the parents was ripping the child's brain. It was ripping her mind. She couldn't tolerate it. So what we did is we essentially were able to begin the process of healing the family. We worked with the mother. We worked with the father. We worked with healing the split between the family. Now, we only worked on this child 3 or 4 hours. This was done over the phone. It was done, you know, again, it was no more than maybe four hours of work. At the end of 4 hours of work, the child, I mean, this is over a period of a few days, the child literally woke up for the first time in about a month, got out of bed, picked up his walker, walked around the house, began eating food. 24 hours later, the child went back to school and re-enrolled in school and was back learning in school.
Whoa.
Happened at 4 hours.
Whoa.
Okay, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have people lined... We're about to go on a break. We got about 30 seconds for the break. Do you have people lined outside your door right now ready to talk to you?
Sometimes I do, and, you know, it's new. People are, you know, this is a new time. And honestly, I'm a person who believes in teaching people to, you know, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, but teaching the fish, he never goes hungry. So we're trying to teach people to learn to fish here.
I'm totally fascinated. Dr. Jaffe, and Jaffe is J-A-F-F-E, Dr. D-R Jaffe, M-D. Medical doctor. DrJaffeMD.com is the website. DrJaffeMD.com. ThePowerHour.com is our website. This interview will be up. Sure to share it with people. I am totally fascinated. Let's get into this even deeper. You know, when you say you went into the tumor, how do you do that? All of this on the other side. And the ramifications are just huge. And what it says about us also. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Very excited to have Dr. Jaffe on today, talking about spiritual healing, spiritual roots. And you mentioned one of your patients in the Netherlands, you went inside a tumor, you kind of, I don't know, explain that process. So somebody's sick, very sick in some cases unconscious, maybe their parent calls, what have you. How do you start this process? What do you do and what do you physically, or what do you see as you do this?
Okay, well, here's how it works. The light of God, you know, has an essence. In other words, what we would say is the Father. The Father is the essence of the essential reality. But the light of God can be fragmented, just like the light comes through a rainbow. If you look at the original light of the rainbow, it's pure white. It comes through the fragment, through the prism of the atmosphere, and it breaks into, you know, the seven primary colors. Well, in the same way, the light of God is pure, but when it fragments into creation, it fragments into attributes. And so you could say that the rainbow of God are, you know, we say 99 attributes. And of course, there are many attributes, and 99 is kind of a, like the larger archetype of attributes, but there are probably hundreds of thousands of attributes. Okay, now, when you want to heal, what you do is you learn how to essentially create a situation by praying to the essence, praying to God, asking God to send down one of those attributes. And in this case, the attribute of knowledge, the attribute of sight, inner sight. So when that comes to the person, whoever you are, and I know it's not just me, anybody can learn this, what happens is your consciousness begins to see in your inner reality. Your eyes are closed. In your imagination, you begin to see, literally, it's like virtual reality. You begin to see images of a person's world. Now, this can only happen if the person gives permission. It only happens if God allows it. Sometimes they give permission. God doesn't allow it. Sometimes God allows it, but they don't want to give permission. So it has to, both have to be there. Okay, so there's no, like, spying or anything like this. It has to be done, you know, in a very noble, very truthful, conscious way. Once the images are opened, you will see, generally, the causes of why a person is sick. You'll see it. You'll literally see them like stored memories inside a person's life. Now, once you find them, the answer now is, what do you do with them? Once you understand, oh, this is the problem.
Let me pause you right there. You say you see, like you would see, you know, you would see a tumor, or you would see a, like a scene played out from their life, like arguing, like their parent doing something mean to them or something. I don't know. What do you mean you see something?
It could be either. And usually it's more the latter. You would,
really?
You know, which might be the parents yelling or fighting and, you know, causing a problem, you know, that the child can't resolve. Like this little girl couldn't resolve the mother's anger at the father, and the father collapsing and not being able to handle the anger. You know, she broke. Her mind could not tolerate that. She broke. You see? And when we looked in, that's what
wow.
we saw. We saw that.
What does this say about our consciousness? What does this say about us as, you know, mankind? It seems like we're basically, we're the cause of our world almost, no?
Yeah, I think we are. And I think it's the unconscious parts of ourselves that are manifesting in the world, you know. It's not, the mom didn't want to be mad at the dad, and the dad didn't want to collapse. You know, she couldn't resolve what she had inside of herself about the father. He couldn't resolve himself. The child couldn't contain it. All this is happening in a very deeply subconscious place, but the effects were dramatic.
Okay, so I'm totally fascinated with this. I think I'm sure our audience is. So you go in, you look at some, you see some scene or whatever. Now what do you do with it there? We got about 45 seconds before a break. So now what do you do with it? You find something?
Bottom line, you have to resolve it. You have to find a way to change it inside the person. And unfortunately, you can change it in many different ways. But the highest way to change it is to bring it into the presence of God and to allow God to transform it through his light. That's the highest.
So you say a prayer, or you mentally do it, they do it? But you know, what if they're unconscious? Did their parents do it? What?
Well, it's done, you know, in this case, it could be done by the person. It could be done by, you know, whoever is suffering. You know, in our case, in this case, the child is, you know...
Yeah, about unconscious. There's the music. On the other side, we'll continue this. DrJaffeMD.com. DrJaffeMD.com. This is so cool. So glad that you're on today, Dr. Jaffe. We'll be back after this break with more at thepowerhour.com. Getting back to Dr. Jaffe, I was telling you a little bit during the break, Dr. Jaffe, about one of my experiences, and this is how I kind of relate to you and kind of how why I wanted to have you on. It was about 2001. I had a lot of health problems, chronic fatigue syndrome. You know, that's what they diagnose you with when they don't know what you have, especially in the early 90s, chronic fatigue syndrome, whatever that meant. My life was really hard and really had a lot of health problems. That's one of the reasons why this show is so important to me and people like you. My grandmother told me about a place about 3-4 hours from a house where it was a church, it was a retreat, and you go in and they kind of follow AA. If you know anything about AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, where you analyze your life, you go over certain things in your life and why you got to certain points, and they do it from a spiritual side, and they talk about sin. You know, sin... we think that that's, you know, you committed a sin or something. But in terms of separation from God, where in your life have you separated from God? It could be something as simple as you let fear into you. So you had an event where maybe your parents were arguing that got fear into you as a little child. Well, that's a sin. That's a break from God, so to speak. That's in terms of that. So you go over all these things in your life and you characterize them, and then you ask forgiveness for some things. You basically do what you said. You give them back to God and ask to be cleansed of this. Is this similar to what you're talking about? This is kind of how I related to this. Is this similar what we're saying?
Yeah, Daniel, that's perfect what you're saying. The, you know, the concept is this, that we can self-heal, or another way of saying it is God can heal us, and when God sends the healing to us, we self-heal. In other words, there's a relationship there. So what happens is this, that my experience is that it's a twofold process. One process is what you've mentioned, it's that return to God, that when you have separation from God, that is one of the ways that disease somehow seeps into a person's consciousness because of that separation and opens the door. And, of course, the second side of it is, what are these causative factors that are going on? So let me give you an example of this. Again, I just was working with this earlier today. I think it's appropriate. This was a family, very conservative, religious family, very strong belief in God, very much wanting their children to be brought up with a very strong belief and faith in God. But here was the problem. The mom was professing it, but deep down had her own questions of faith. She's actually in a crisis of faith in herself, but she wasn't really sharing it. She was keeping it really hidden. The father was a scientist, very brilliant, but believed deeply in his faith and also was a scientist, so he had mixed faith with science. She could not mix faith with science. In other words, her critical thinking said there's holes in faith. I'm seeing things in faith that aren't real. There's things that aren't right. I don't believe it. It's ruining my faith. So she had a crisis of faith, or, you know, that caused separation between her and God. Well, they had kids. And when the older kid found something that brought a crisis of faith for her with her parents, I won't go into what that was, but it brought up that she stopped trusting in the religion, stopped trusting in religion, period. She didn't trust in, really, in God anymore. Did God even exist? She went into the crisis of faith. And out of that, she left the faith. She moved in with her boyfriend. They lived together, you know, in that way, and so forth. Well, here, when this person called me, she's got stage 4 ovarian cancer. So what actually caused the cancer is fascinating, that what we found was that this woman, the conflict between the father and the faith and the child who's lost faith was so powerful, and it manifests a reflection in the mom, where the mom was struggling with the same issues in herself, that the light, you could say the inner light of her ovaries ripped. There was a rip. And in that rip, out of that ripping of that conflict within herself, she gave up. She said, I just can't live here anymore. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know if I want to be here anymore. The cancer was a manifestation of her giving up because she couldn't resolve that conflict in herself. Okay? So when we're working with healing, you know, what are the next steps? We have to, first of all, resolve that issue. How is she going to resolve it in herself? How is she going to get her faith back? How is she going to resolve the part of her that believes in God and the part of her who's lost faith in God? How is she going to resolve her relationship to her children, to her husband, to her own self? These are the issues inside of her ovary that have torn the ovary apart. What is the ovary? The ovary is the place of the family. It's where conception, the egg comes out of the ovary, the sperm comes together with it, you conceive the child. The ovary is the source of the family. It's the seat of the family creation, the creation of the family. When the family gets torn apart, where do you think it attacks? It's the breaking of the family that tears apart the ovary. And it's the breaking with oneself that causes the ovary to go into crisis. So this is is what we found living inside of our ovary. Now, our job as healers is to bring healing and resolution to what's inside of her through the light of God. In other words, how do we restore her faith? How do we bring her back into a state of love? How do we bring that family back together? How do we resolve father's anger with the daughter, quote, living in sin? How do we deal with the daughter who lost her faith in God? How do we deal with the hypocrisy that she saw, that she believed caused her to leave God? These are the questions that have to be resolved for her to heal. And I think she will heal if she resolves the thing.
Okay, that's a pretty specific and, you know, quite deep and complicated. Let me, you made me think of another big question. People say, well, I got heart disease just like my father. It's in my DNA. So what would you say to that?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, it, maybe it's in the DNA, and we know today that just because somebody has some kind of DNA, it doesn't mean it's going to come out. You know, the DNA is there are aspects of DNA that are veiled and are unveiled by a traumatic experience and life experiences. So because you might have a propensity towards it doesn't mean you're going to have it. Secondly, you know, if the father, you know, my experience with heart disease is about love, people not being able to accept or give love. So if a person's father couldn't give the love and we act like our father, which most of us do, then, you know, yeah, we might end up with the same thing. But the other side of it is perhaps, you know, maybe we could figure out a way that we don't have to keep passing the experience down the line to our children and their children and their children. You know, maybe we're the ones that are going to break that experience and learn to love. I think that's our job.
Well, you just said something, you know, as I went through that experience I told you about, and that's what came to my mind was almost like part of my mission or purpose, whatever, was to repair the family breaks. Like all these breaks that were coming up, I mean, most of them were not even mine. They were my family's or this or circumstances surround how I took circumstances. Do you find that people, we're going on a break, but do you find that people's almost like there to heal the family, repair the family?
100%. I think that is a major part of any healing. You've got to get to those family issues and the origin issues that are coming from the family line. That's part of healing.
Hmm. Well, stay right there. We got one more segment with Dr. Jaffe. Dr. Jaffe MD is the website. DrJaffeMD.com is the website. Just fascinating. I mean, during the break, my mind is going a million places on this. DrJaffeMD.com is the website. The phone number, if you rather call, 888-237-5233 is Dr. Jaffe's phone number, his clinic or his associates. And you have, it's not just you, there's a lot of other healers and people who work on this, almost like a network here. Is that correct, Dr. Jaffe?
Yeah, we've probably trained about 1,000 people to do this work.
Wow.
So there's a lot of people doing it worldwide, really. And we do have a group of what we call master healers, which are people that have minimally trained, you know, somewhere around 7, 8, 9 years in this process, which is, you know, very new. It's very innovative. It's something, you know, that really came through, I would say, about 30 to 40 years of personal work myself. You know, learning, first I learned to heal, and then I tried to understand how the healing happened. And then I tried to put it together in a way that it could be reproducible, and that's what we're finding. We're actually finding that the master healers are healing cancer and, you know, all sorts of diseases that essentially, you know, would be considered terminal and, you know, all sorts of things, psychiatric things, you name it. So I'm a firm believer in spiritual healing, but I believe that it should be done with traditional medicine. That's why I call it medical spiritual healing, because, you know, if you... You know, a lot of spiritual healers, they just say, you know, just do the spiritual healing. You don't need medicine. And I believe that's absolutely wrong. I think that they need to work together. For example, we had a guy who had very high blood pressure. He went to a spiritual healer, not one of ours. And the healer said, look, you can heal this with your mind. And they were right. It was true. It was coming from his mind. But they said, you know, just throw away your medicine and you just work on spiritual healing. Well, they never checked to find out that his blood pressure off medicine was 220, 230, over 180, 190. You know, that's considered extreme medical emergency. Well, he did. He threw away the medicine. He went for a hike out in the desert. And, you know, 3 days later, we found his body. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, we have to know what we're doing. We have to balance the spiritual healing with the safety of medicine, because medicine knows. It knows about those things.
Well, we are physical beings. You know, I think what you're proving here with this discussion, what you're finding out, is that there's a duality to man. There's definitely a physical side that we need to address, and there's a spiritual side. They're both, and they come together, and they're this complicated, mismatched biological computer here, and there's but we need both aspects. I am fascinated by what you're doing. I would love to sit down with you and do a session or two and kind of talk to you and see what you do. Would you do that for me sometime?
Yeah, I would be very happy to do that for you, Daniel, and I think it will be very enlightening. I think we'll discover all sorts of secrets about our own selves, which what makes the journey so fun, and we understand who we are.
Well, what I want to do, we'll do it, and then, you know, I don't know what you're going to find out. I don't want my whole personal life over the radio, but then we'll have you back on, you know, we'll have you back on, and we'll kind of discuss it and go through it, you know, kind of as a guinea. I'll be the guinea pig here, and I think our audience would get a kick out of that. Okay, we'll set that up. Catherine will get in touch. I am really looking forward to this. You said something during the break that I thought was very interesting. You talked about atoms are condensed light. Talk about that.
Well, we were talking about quantum, and, you know, my understanding is that, you know, everything is light, including God. In other words, at least at this level of manifestation. So as human beings, if you really get down to the atomic level and you look inside the nucleus, what you really find is there's only light inside the neutrons and protons. Is light. We are condensed light. So we have a body, but we're a condensation of light. That's what we are.
That is fascinating. Talk about, you know, I mean, it's almost like unbelievable. I should be asking you. I kind of joked, are people lined up outside your house ready to talk to you? I mean, we see people who can really heal people. I mean, sick people come in droves looking for some kind of cure. What kind of miracle? Let's talk about miracles. I mean, you say you've seen miracles. Let's talk about some more of those.
Well, we see, I would say, in a certain percentage of healing, we see miracles. Now, you know, the more common thing, as I call it, the slow drip. It's not necessarily a miracle. It's a slow, progressive change in a person's consciousness and their, you know, their hearts, their attributes, their love, that type of thing, and they slowly get better. But what we see in some percentage, and again, I don't know the numbers, maybe, you know, a couple percent, is the opposite of that. What happens is that for some reason, the person demonstrates some very, very deep connection to God, where there's a sincere need, a very deep faith, a tremendous, bowing to God, and they're giving everything to God. Now, in this situation, what happens, and here's an example of this. This lady had bilateral breast cancer diagnosed. They wanted to do a bilateral mastectomy. She reached that state. She was sitting in prayer, praying constantly. She was listening very deeply to what would come after she would pray. She would get insight, like, you know, she would pray and she would get insight, go, you know, go make a green drink, go take a walk, go talk to your son or your husband, or, you know, and she would go and do those things. And she did that for about 3 weeks. And she said that she felt this incredible proximity to God. It was like God was with her every second. And she said it was like I was in awe. I was living in awe of God. And I knew that God was beyond all things, and God was ultimate. She said, as I understood that, all of a sudden, this incredible white light came above me. And as it came above me, she said, my eyes were closed, but it was like I was looking at a sun. It was so bright, it was like a sun. And she said, all of a sudden, that sun, literally on its own volition, shot down into her breast and exploded the tumors in her breast. She said, I could feel the tumors explode inside of me. I knew it was gone. I felt it was gone. And, of course, about, I don't know if it was 2 weeks later, some 10 days, it was not long after she went to the oncologist for the surgery. She was going for surgery at that point. She said to the oncologist, you know, yes, I believe I've healed this. You know, the oncologist said that's impossible. You know, you can't heal these things. You know, the only way to heal us is do the surgery and get chemo, radiation. So she said, no, I know I feel this. Can we recheck it? And when they rechecked, they did the mastectomy, and when they rechecked it, the tumors were gone. They had completely disappeared.
Fascinating. Just absolutely fascinating. Dr. Jaffe, drjaffemd.com, drjaffemd.com. Great to talk to you, my friend. We'll be in touch, and then we'll have you back on soon. We're going to continue with this. There's a lot more we got to get into. I'm a little gobsmacked. Gobsmacked. God, what's it? I can't even say it. Gobsmacked.